the fiber and the antioxidants in there to feed your healthy gut flora, which produce a lot of your happy and calm neurotransmitters.
Are you overwhelmed by motherhood and barely keeping your head above water? Are you confused and frustrated by how all the other moms make it look so easy? You can't figure out how to manage the chaos in your mind, your home, or your family. I get you, mama. Parenting with ADHD is hard. Here is your permission slip to let go of the Pinterest-worthy visions of organization and structure fit for everyone else. Let's do life like our brains do life. Creatively, lovingly, and with all our might. When we embrace who we are and how our brains work, we can figure out how to live our lives successfully and, in turn, lead our families well. At the end of the day, we just want to be good moms, but spoiler alert, you are already a great mom. ADHD does not mean you're doomed to be a hot mess, mama. You can rewrite your story from shame spiral to success story, and I'll be right here beside you to cheer you on. Welcome to Motherhood in ADHD. Hey there, successful mama. It's your friend Patricia Sung. Welcome back to part two of our discussion on PMDD with Heidi Hogarth. Now, I hope you already listened to our last episode because we discussed what is premenstrual dysphoric disorder. We talked about the symptoms and what to look for. How do you talk to your doctor about it? Lots of good stuff. Well, this week we're diving into the rage that comes with PMDD. How do we live well when our body sometimes feels out of control? The relationship between bipolar or schizophrenia diagnoses when maybe it's this. Then we dive in to this discussion about gut health and gut biomes. As much as I've researched about gut health, I learned so much from Heidi today. So before we start this discussion on our gut and poop and all kinds of good stuff, let's go ahead and read our review of the week. This week's review comes from BriBri's mom with 5 stars. She titles it, "Thank you so much." Thank you so much for showing me that I'm not alone in my ADHD bomb struggles. Yes, ma'am, you are not alone. There are millions of us out here, and I'm so glad that you found us. Remember that if you're looking for a community, my Facebook community is always welcome to you. Go ahead and search for it, and I'll put the link in the show notes so that you can find an entire community of moms who live, breathe, and deal with ADHD every day so that you never feel alone. These women are so sweet and so kind. You got to get in there. Click the link in the show notes, or you can just search for the Motherhood and ADHD community. It's called Help for Moms with ADHD, and you'll find me over there. All right, let's get back into our discussion with Heidi about PMDD and our gut health. Okay, another question that was asked from the mamas in the community is that, how do you channel your rage in a healthier way? Because obviously as a mom, quite often our kids are present when this is all going on. How do you deal with your family or like your mother-in-law popping in when you're in those stressful times? Is there anything you can do to like point that in a different direction than your little ones?
I think those emotions do need to be expressed. I mean, it's often the little ones who trigger it as well. So
they are very triggering.
Careful about not taking it out on them as well. You know, they're often just being kids, and it's us who are more sensitive to that. If you have a tendency to aggression and violence, which is common, I mean, removing yourself, your kids might be safer with you out of the room. You can scream and hit pillows, scream into pillows and hit pillows. If you can't actually get out of the house, you know, the kids, you can't leave them alone, right? So you just can't. Maybe bundling them up and going for a quick walk outside. Like even if for a 5 or 10 minute walk, you don't need the whole nappy bag and the snacks and the water bottles. And even plan half the time, right?
You know, yes, you don't have to Sherpa half your stuff with you. Just go.
Yeah, just go and a run, or if you've got a trampoline, jump on the trampoline. Put on music. You might want to like put on Metallica or heavy metal music, like really stomp around the house. Like that can be a great release and tuning into that kind of angry, irritable energy which really needs to be acknowledged. Like you don't want to suppress that shit, right? So I hope I can.
You can.
I always warn mamas when we're heading on that path, but I feel like this topic, no one's going to listen with our kids around anyway. So we're good.
My kids are probably used to pretty bad. Oh, they're a bit older now. Yeah. You don't want to suppress it. You don't want it inside your body, just upsetting your nervous system and stress response and all of that kind of thing. That is not good stuff to have inside. So actually probably a safe way that kids would also enjoy would be the hard music or whatever music's going to float your boat. You know, maybe you do want something to calm you down. Yeah, I think it's a really physical experience, so it should probably be something physical. But another thing that I often recommend is EFT tapping.
Yes.
So that's another great way of acknowledging that emotion and then releasing it. And I think that's good. You know, it's better than affirmations can just feel so weak.
Yeah, it feels cheesy in the moment.
It's too far of a jump to go from I feel horrible and worthless and I'm full of rage and I want to kill someone or smash something to my life's roses and you know, the sun's shining and I'm so grateful for everything I have. You need a few steps in between that EFT can really bridge the gap.
For anyone listening, we have an episode on tapping for ADHD. So I'll link that in the show notes as well. That's a really great technique that you can do anywhere, anytime. And it's a good thing to pull out of your pocket. So, you know, obviously as an naturopath, you're treating the whole person. So there's a lot to a treatment plan, but are there any like quick things when we talked about the supplements of what other kind of treatments we can engage in, or like, how do we live well if we're dealing with this type of emotional roller coaster?
Before I do any treatment, I recommend cycle syncing. And I did just listen to your episode on that, which is excellent. So I recommend coming back to listen to that. It's that self-awareness. So working with yourself, with your natural fluctuations. Yeah. So self-acceptance and self-awareness are the first steps. And as much as you can, plan your life around those things, like make appointments when it suits you, not when you have to, and all of that kind of thing. So I won't go too deep into it because you already have, and that's awesome. But I think that's really, really important. So number one. Yeah, like I said, so there's so many different things. So I always start with diet. So I like to get people onto an anti-inflammatory kind of diet. So inflammation, people recognize as an acute immune response due to infection and injury, when the typical symptoms are heat and swelling and pain. But those things can also be triggered long-term and due to chronic stress. So regulating inflammation and stress in your body is really important, because your brain is part of your body. I have to tell people this all the time, right? Your brain is an organ of your body, which also has nutritional requirements, which is also influenced by the physiological processes that are going on in your body. So it's not just all about your psychological health and your cognition and your thoughts and beliefs, which are all really important, you know, that psychosocial conditioning. Yeah, I'm not dismissing that at all, but also that it's so important to look at the what I call the bottom-up approach. So fortifying that physiological biochemistry of your body. So regulating inflammation and stress is a big one. And for that, like, there's really simple things like an anti-inflammatory diet. It's actually pretty normal food. A typical example is a Mediterranean diet. So lots of plant foods, a little bit of meat if you eat meat or animal products, and lots of healthy oils. Oils, healthy fats, so important for your brain and for your hormones as well. So they're really important. And then your nervous system, oh my God, how deep can we go?
I'm eating it up. You just keep on going. I'm loving it.
Lots of veggies is always my number one tip. Great for your everything, but also for the gut-brain connection, which is a whole different topic, which we probably don't have time for, but getting the fiber and the antioxidants in there to feed your healthy gut flora, which produce a lot of your happy and calm neurotransmitters, really strong connection between the gut and the brain, which I'm sure your listeners are aware of. They're educated by you, I'm sure, no doubt. We can talk about that another time. So, yeah.
And then I haven't gotten too far in the gut yet because I've been studying, again, with my mold toxicity and all of my autoimmune issues, I've been doing a lot of reading about the gut. I feel like I barely cracked the surface, but I'm like, we got to talk about this. So yeah. Talk to me about brain and gut health. This is like, I would say you're hitting my like excited button. I was already excited. Now I'm getting like super excited.
Yeah, okay.
Go for it.
So what's a really cool fact is that your gut and your nervous system and brain all develop from the same stuff in utero as a fetus. So yeah, it's all made of the same stuff. So you think of your gut as really part of your nervous system. There are more nerves innervating your digestive system, which, by the way, goes from your lips, teeth, mouth, down your esophagus, into your stomach, small intestine, large intestine, and then all the side bits like the pancreas, the liver, the gallbladder. I think they're the main ones. I think I've got them all. So there's more nerves innervating all of that than there are for the rest of your body. And there's a huge, really important, call it the gut-brain superhighway of information getting passed each way. And a lot going from the gut to the brain. In fact, probably more than the other way around. One of the most significant things that I think really get people really interested in why should I look after my gut for my mental health is the fact that serotonin and GABA and dopamine are all made there by your microbiome, all the healthy gut bacteria living in your large intestine, of which there are more cells than there are in your whole body as well. And I've even heard another practitioner say, talk about a theory that humans have evolved to look after the gut microbiome. Like we are like their slaves. So, and that's part of like, they send us up all these things to keep us happy, to keep operating and wanting to live so that we feed them nicely too. So a lot of cravings come from there, for example. So what you feed them grows. So you feed them fibers and antioxidants from your plant foods. Those are really the guys that you want to be proliferating in there because they provide all these fantastic, what we call postbiotics, which are the metabolites that are the good things that we use, like the serotonin and GABA, but also things like vitamin K, B12, the short-chain fatty acids that have a great anti-inflammatory effect on our whole body system. So, you really want to get your gut microbiome working well. And the other reason it's really important in terms of hormonal health is that the liver and the large intestine is where we detoxify, excrete excess hormones, especially estrogen. So a big problem, for example, can be in constipation. So when somebody's constipated, they can be reabsorbing toxic estrogen. So not only our naturally produced estrogens, which is also not great to reabsorb if we have too many or we have out of balance with the progesterone, but also the xenoestrogens, those that we get from the environment, from the plastics, from the printers, from the artificial fragrances and additives and things like that in our foods and environment, the new car smell, new clothes, those kinds of things all have this endocrine disrupting effect. A lot of them are actors. Estrogens, but not in a nice way. They're really toxic type of estrogens. So yeah, getting your bowels moving can be one of the most simple ways to address hormonal imbalances, making sure that you've been having a nice daily bowel movement once or twice a day, easy to pass, not too loose, not too hard.
Yeah.
Naturopaths talk about poo all the time. So that's not freaking anyone out as well.
Those are the things that we don't talk about, but yet your poop is like one of the major indicators of your health. But we'd be like, well, no one wants to talk about it.
Yeah.
It's like, no, this is like, you can like get a pretty good report on your body through poop.
Yeah, absolutely.
And as moms, we deal with a lot of poop anyway. So I feel like, hey, here we are.
No, we just don't talk about our own. So they're the main ones. And the liver health. Oh, the liver does so much. So I can't even go there, but in regulating hormones, let's just go with that. So that's the first port of call where excess hormones are conjugated into a form that's easily excreted So when the liver is under pressure, which can be the most obvious reason is from drinking too much alcohol, then that can lead to pretty serious downstream effects in terms of hormonal and mental health as well. So yeah, reducing alcohol is a really important thing to do.
And I, I will interject because that is also like, I've been on some serious research binges recently, and that there are so many women who use alcohol as a coping mechanism, because when you have ADHD and your brain's always going all the time, the alcohol quiets your brain down. So a lot of women with ADHD are using that as a coping mechanism to calm the crazy inside your mind and quiet it down. But yet then there's all this domino effect of how it almost like then makes things worse. So it's like,
yeah, it creates a real dysbiosis in the gut, so imbalance of the microbiome. Yeah, often it's anxiety, it's inflammatory as well. It's a central nervous system depressant. So alcohol cravings can be mitigated by supporting GABA production, so the nice, happy, calm neurotransmitter. So there are herbal medicines that can do that, like passion flower, and kava is a good one, but in Australia, it's only on prescription from a naturopath or herbalist, and can interact with a lot of medications. Doing just calming activities like yoga, meditation. I know it's not as instant as a glass of wine can be. And I've certainly been there as a stressed out mum in the evening, you know, and it's witching hour and you just need to chill or you're going to blow your top. Yeah, then some ways preferable to have that glass of wine, but to mitigate it or prevent it beforehand is really important too. So, and that takes a holistic lifestyle approach. Supporting GABA production.
Theanine.
Yeah, there's an amino acid L-theanine found in green tea.
Yeah.
So as well, it supports GABA production without tipping it over into glutamate is the anxiety-inducing or can be anxiety-inducing neurotransmitter. It's kind of on the seesaw with GABA.
Mama, are you looking for some extra support? Could you use a few more like-minded mamas in your circle? Here is your official invitation to join our Facebook group, the Motherhood and ADHD Community. Here you can ask questions, share advice, but most importantly, know that you're not alone. Click on the link in the show notes or search on Facebook for Motherhood and ADHD Community. So come join our little corner of the internet with other mamas who know how your brain works and won't look at you crazy when you share what's floating around inside there. Instead, they'll say, I get it. I've been there and I know how that is. So come on, what are you waiting for? See you in there. Again, that's the Motherhood in ADHD Community on Facebook.
What can we do to start to really nourish our gut health when we're like, hey, I don't even know where to start. What are a couple of like first steps that you could do to start rebalancing your gut biome? I mean, it does have to do with your butt. That's not where I was going. It's like, what are some like first steps of like someone, if you're like, I haven't talked to a nutritionist or anything, like I'm like, this is like a whole new world to me. What's like a couple first steps that we could do to start to nourish that biome and start to feed it the good stuff?
Yeah, the good stuff really comes from fiber, plant fiber. So lots and lots of fiber. So that means fruit and vegetables at every meal and every snack. So as much as you can get in. Sometimes it might mean adding in a supplement like slippery elm or inulin, or there's one called PHGG, partially hydrolyzed guar gum. This is really great for nurturing the microbiome. So those are called prebiotics. So they feed the probiotics. Probiotics are the actual gut bacteria. So you can take supplements of probiotics. You'd get it either in a capsule or a powder, which you can just easily add to food or just swallow. Or there's probiotic foods, which are the fermented foods like sauerkraut, yogurt, kefir, kombucha, kimchi. That's all I can think of for now. So yeah, there is like including something in your daily diet, maybe once or twice, up to three times a day. Just a little bit of a caveat with the probiotic foods, they can really exacerbate some gut symptoms. So if you have a sensitive gut, like if you have kind of allergic type or food intolerance types of symptoms, sometimes those probiotic foods can really exacerbate those. So then you really tread carefully. Just start with like a teaspoon of sauerkraut juice. Or actually, it's probably a better idea to actually see a practitioner if you're having reactions like that.
Yeah.
Or just go to the probiotics and go with prebiotics, the feeding the fiber, the fruit and vegetables, like we were saying before, and also legumes and nuts and seeds. They're also great fiber foods. Yeah, that'd be number one. And then, of course, with fiber, you need a lot of water as well, because a lot of those fibers absorb water. So if you're not adding in the water, they can really dry out with the poop. So it makes it hard to pass, and then it makes everything worse. So if you're having a lot of fiber, you also need to make sure you're getting a lot of water to keep everything moving through. That's the main thing.
And I think that's a good like point to emphasize too, is that our gut is such a huge influence on our body that people have been saying it for years, but nobody was really paying attention. It's only been in the last few years that people started shouting about probiotics and prebiotics and all this. But when we start modifying things, like the domino effect started, and then usually people will be like, oh no, those probiotics really messed me up. I don't do those. Well, usually that's an indicator that something else was wrong, but they get scared and they're like, oh no, that was like, that caused some problems. And then they back up rather than actually like digging in and finding the problem. It was like, well, I dabbled and it was no good, so I backed up. It's like, well, no, if you dabbled, it was not good. That's telling, like, that's a red flag being like, hey, go check this out. And you probably need to get some professional help to like.
Yeah, absolutely. It's so true. It's a really strong indicator of major dysbiosis. It's like, you know, you've got an already crowded stadium and you want to throw a few thousand extra people in there. So there's got to be a lot of shuffling and people are going to get angry and there's going to be that. And maybe some barriers get burst, you know, it's literally like that. So when you have that dysbiotic environment and you add something new in, which should be a good thing, and these guys proliferate quickly, that's when those symptoms can come up. So definitely, you're right, it's time to see someone. If those things that are normally good for you or should be good for you are causing problems, then definitely see a practitioner.
Okay, I could ask 100 more questions, but I'm sure everyone noticed by your accent that you are Australian, and I'm in Houston. So it is very late for me. It's midday for you. So also thank you for bearing with me as we juggled all those, the time zones and the time change and all. It was like, oh my goodness, I already find time zones very overwhelming because I feel like no matter what calculation I do, somehow I always end up doing it wrong. So I was like,
I'm on a stupid half hour time zone as well.
Yes, I didn't even know that existed. Y'all, they're half hour different from us. So I'm trying to remember what the math was. I think it was like 14 and a half hours or something like that. And I was like, and then daylight savings happened. It was like, oh my goodness, it was like too much for my brain. But either way, we made it and it's fine. But I'm like, I could ask you 100 million more questions, but before my brain turns into a pumpkin, I guess, is there any other encouragement that you would share with a woman who's dealing with this? What would you say to her to speak into her heart and that there is some hope out there, because obviously you have learned how to live with it. What would you tell her?
I'd say that exactly. There is hope. You're not alone. You'd be surprised how many people are out there suffering. That was one of the most exciting things for me to discover. It's a bit sad, it's exciting. But when I first found out about PMDD and then I discovered all these support groups, it was amazing because it's so open and non-judgmental. You know, all these strangers, can be thousands of strangers supporting people when you see a post up there, I'm struggling with this or that. And so many responses are so supportive. You know, on the one hand, it's sad that there are so many people out there suffering. But on the other, I really felt like I missed out on that kind of support for a long time. So, you're not alone and you're not crazy, you know, you're not crazy. And you are worthy of help. And there are a lot of things that can help. Yeah, most importantly. So speak up and don't be shy. And don't be ashamed. I think there's a lot of shame around it as well. Yeah, but it's just PMS. I'm not coping with my PMS.
And there's nothing that you're doing to cause this. I think that's a lot of where the shame comes from, is that people feel like they did something to deserve this, or like they did something that, like, even though it's like literally you don't have that much control over your hormones. Like, yes, there are things you can do to make things better or worse, but like in the grand scheme of things, it's not like you're pushing buttons in your brain and your gut to make hormones happen. Like, we don't have to feel the ownership of guilt because it's not something we chose or that we did, but we can step out and find help out there. So I think that was what was part of why I was just so excited to find you and find someone who truly specializes in this, to know that there is hope. There are answers out there. Like, maybe we don't know all of them, but it's a real thing. There's a lot of women dealing with it, and there are things that we can do to live better when we're struggling, no matter what it is. So, okay, let me hit my lightning round questions here. So number one, the best thing that I've read or listened to recently is?
Oh, the book Wild Power by Alexandra Pope and Shani somebody, Hugo Wurlitzer. Yeah, that's really about embracing the wonderful power of your menstrual cycle. You know, it's not a curse. It can be a superpower.
I'm like, oh, I want to ask more questions. I'm like, no, stay with the lightning round, Patricia. Okay. Number two, my most boring about me fact is.
Part of me wants to say everything, but that's my inner critic. That's what she said all my life. You're boring. You're so boring. Boring. So I'd like to now say, no, nothing. I'm not boring.
I love it. Number three, when I'm having a rough day, my go-to quote, song, poem, book, activity, whatever is.
I would, if I can, have a nap, read a book for escapism. My favorite quote is, start where you are, use what you have, do what you can. So whatever your situation, like, it's okay. Just do what you can with what you've got. Yeah.
Okay. Number four, don't tell anyone I
hate kale. I'm a naturopath and nutritionist. I don't like kale.
How do you live with yourself? Number five, if I had a magic fairy wand for one spell, I would
remove everybody's inner critic. It just stops people living their best lives. You know, we stop ourselves most of the time. So if we could just take it away, I think the world would be a much happier, more well-adjusted, calm, easy place to live for ourselves as much as anyone else in our relationships as well.
Yeah. A recovering perfectionist, I say, hear, hear. And number six, my best piece of advice for mamas who are dealing with PMDD is?
Self-compassion. Yeah, like we were saying before, just go easy on yourself. That would be number one.
Okay. And then I would say, like, I don't know what the international laws are between countries. Like, if women who are in other countries want to work with you, is that an option? And if so, in case we have some Australian listeners who are here today, how can they work with you and connect with you and find out what you're doing?
I'm most active on Instagram. That's where I kind of put my most effort into providing tips and snippets of information, I guess. So on Instagram, I'm at HeidiHogarth_naturopath. And on my website is fundamentalwellbeing.life, LIFE. So I have a program for PMDD. And I do one-on-one consultations as well. My program, I'm actually just running through with people on a one-on-one basis, but I'm aiming, when I get brave, to make it a group program, because I love that community support. I think you just get so much from each other. So I really want to get to that point. Yeah, at the moment, you know what, my professional insurance doesn't allow me to work with people in the States or Canada, and I'm looking into other insurance that can open me up for the rest of the world. But in the meantime, you can just take all my free content.
Okay, well, I know that there are quite a few women who are listening today, like, please tell me this program is open tomorrow because I want to sign up. So I sure hope that that bravery kicks in sooner than later. I know that there are so many women who need this encouragement and they need to know all the wisdom that you have to offer. So thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate it.
Pleasure. Thanks for having me.
For more resources, classes, and community, head over to my website, motherhoodinadhd.com.